All right, good morning. Thanks, everyone, for joining. My name is Tien-Tsin Huang. I cover the IT services and payment sector at J.P. Morgan. Really excited to have Mark Foster here from IBM. Mark runs the GBS unit, the consulting unit at IBM, very important piece within IBM and certainly an area of focus for us. I knew Mark from Accenture. I think it was, 27 years at Accenture, running consulting, management consulting, and so... obviously a long tenure there and now at IBM. So what we're going to do is fireside chat, go through a lot of these questions, many of which we came and sourced from you. And so thank you, Mark, for being here.
Pleasure.
Looking forward to chatting with you. So just maybe just kick it off and ask the natural question of why join, IBM. And after, 27 years at Accenture, took a little bit of a break, and now we see you at IBM at GBS. So why the change?
Well, thank you, Tien-Tsin, and good morning, everyone. The first thing to say is that Ginny is very persuasive.
Yep.
That's the first thing to say. But also, although I was away from Accenture for 5.5 years, I was on various business boards, and I stayed in contact with what was happening in the world of business. And it became very clear to me that there was a whole confluence of big changes that were happening again. Another wave of change was coming through major companies around the world, major governments around the world, the lives of citizens, everything. And that confluence of digital, of regulatory, of social change was creating another completely major wave of enterprise change. And when I looked around and saw the kinds of organizations that could help clients on that journey, really there were very few. And when the opportunity to talk to IBM came along, I was frankly intrigued by the potential of the scale of an organization like IBM, but more importantly, the scale combined with the assets, and particularly, of course, as I got to know more about the assets in the cognitive, Watson, analytic, digital, cloud areas, a very clear recognition that there was a really unique opportunity here to be part of a transformative opportunity. And also, at the end of the day, when you're 57 and you get asked to run an 125,000-person, $17 billion enterprise, it's a bus you don't want to really pass up.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of scale, just a little bit of scale. So any surprises since joining IBM? I know culture is very important to us as we study a lot of these companies mm-hmm. and IT services, especially in consulting. These are people-based businesses. Yeah. So how would you describe the culture at IBM? Any surprises?
Well, obviously, it's a culture I'd observed for a long time. Yeah. I think that things I expected around the performance culture. It's a culture that likes to win. It's an execution culture. The technology and engineering background of the place brings that very much to getting things done. That's, I think, there. Perhaps from the surprise front was how far IBM has come around the whole design thinking, agile mm-hmm. working. Genuinely embedded in the organization in terms of the new ways of working. Perhaps when one looks at it from the outside, one would have a perspective or a perception around the IBM culture as being more rigid. But actually, I've been amazed by how far this whole agile thinking has come in. Mm. From my perspective, that the key thing now has been how to harness that, particularly around a couple of areas. So firstly, around building deeper client relationships, the whole concept of client centricity. So how do, in the end of the day, it's the work and the value we add to clients that's the most important thing. And I think that there's an opportunity to apply this culture alongside the desire for pace and agility that our clients face to co-create with them through the use of design thinking and other approaches in a different way.
Right.
I think that's actually creating a really big opportunity for us. And the second thing is to recognize that the skill base of the 125,000 people is going to carry on evolving. We're continuing to obviously add new skills to that group. We're continuing bringing on board different people from different backgrounds. We leveraged a fair bit of M&A, particularly in areas like our design studios and our creative areas.
Right.
And that's actually bringing, I think, another completely different cultural agenda and capability to IBM. So I think for me it's around now melding all of that and using it to build some really high-performing practices.
Yeah. So how about just IBM's ability to recruit talent, right? We all know that the IT labor market is mm-hmm. tight and everyone's looking for digital talent. data scientists, et cetera. So can you help us understand where that is on IBM's?
Well, I would say that right now, IBM and GBS has extraordinary employer brand permission right now. I mean, it's really interesting, whether it's young graduates coming out of university or it's partners from strategy consulting firms or the Big Four, or practitioners in areas like blockchain or skilled areas around cognitive analytics, BPO experts. To be honest with you, across the board right now, you know, they're beating a track to us. And you know, therefore, at the moment, our potential to hire really high-quality talent is really high. I think that the overall shift in the brand perception of IBM is really helping in terms of making it, you know, to an outsider look like a really intriguing, interesting place to work. And then, of course, it's then down to what we can do to, you know, really help those people come on board and engage on the new platform that we're creating in terms of how to operationalize that. But I think whether it's in our domestic practices, in our nearshore centers, or in our global delivery network, at all levels right now, as I say, there's a real buzz, and that's making it, to be honest with you, a really interesting time for the acquisition of talent.
And you mentioned it earlier, but just the ability to reskill talent, you know, whether it's global delivery, consulting, across the entire spectrum, where are you? Where is IBM there in terms of the ability to reskill?
Well, obviously, that's a big challenge. We have, obviously, in the mix of our business, across our various growth platforms, we have some areas where we have very large, you might call traditional workforces, supporting major clients, and we have to recognize that keeping the lights on for clients is still a very, very fundamental task, and there are systems that have been in place for a long time that will be in place for a long time that still need those skill sets. Having said that, of course, as we drive into the world of cognitive process reengineering, into digital strategy, and the whole, you know, design-led thinking, we need new skills. Right. And that's something that we're having to sort of, you know, bring on board. We're having to step up our training, completely revamp our training to focus on those new skills. And in some cases, really think hard about what the sources of talent are going to be. Because I think there's a new generation of consultant that's emerging here, the type of consultant that can actually leverage cognitive tools, that can be that hybrid player that straddles the worlds of technology and business, but also is able to use the new capabilities that come with cognitive and analytics and also understand the cloud architectures and how they can transform processes and businesses. That skill set is actually, you know, almost has to be discovered. It's not in the normal sources.
Right.
So for us, we're thinking quite hard about where to find those skills in business. A lot of actually coming out of the industrial sector, very interesting skill sets out of engineering, the industrial sector, that suddenly seem to have a new life in this cognitive world.
And then just last follow-on here is just the importance of global delivery and where you stand there.
Well, obviously, we have a massive global delivery network centered in India, Manila, and elsewhere around the world. It's a fundamental part of our delivery model. It's also the fundamental basis of our quality processes and our kind of end-to-end re-engineering of the way we'd serve our clients. I would say, again, it's an area that we're continuing to transform, and we're finding how we actually inject digital into that, but also inject automation into that process. So the automation process is a massive area for us, and we're using that to allow us to not continually go on the journey of adding more and more people into that network, but to actually balance the people with the automation, and obviously to pass that value on to our clients, who increasingly are expecting that to be the case. Yeah. And I think we're going to be on a long journey around automation, around also applying cognitive tools. So I was in our BPO center in Bangalore about a couple of months ago, where we're using cognitive to support several of our major clients there. And again, we're completely transforming the nature of how many people it takes to do finance and accounting outsourcing for this client through the application of cognitive tools, through the application of blockchain technologies. We're genuinely being able to actually shrink the manpower required to do major administrative tasks. So I think that trend is going to carry on, and we plan to use our centers as centers of excellence for that kind of transformation.
All right. No, that's good. It's a helpful example. So maybe let's bring it back to the business. I'll just ask you straight up, what is your mandate at IBM? What do you plan to do differently? I know at Investor Briefing you talked about growth platforms and whatnot. So can you expand upon that maybe? What is your mandate?
The first mandate is to return GBS to sustained profitable growth. I think it's fair. Yeah. It's fair to say, because I think anyone can see there's been an erosion of profit, and it's not an area that's grown for a while. So I have a very clear focus and mandate that's around how to do that. And the truth of the matter is, you know, that opportunity is right in front of us because we do operate in a growing marketplace. There's demand for our services, and there's a marketplace out there for what we do. So it's really about how we align GBS better with that marketplace opportunity and the client needs that we can see out there. And it's a result of that that I've really focused on these three growth platforms for GBS. You know, the first one being the whole digital strategy and interactive growth platform, which is where we combine our 35 design studios with a new digital strategy capability to do customer engagement-led strategy development, blueprint development, roadmap development for our clients around how they are going to go on the digital journey. So that whole capability, you know, is something that we're turning clients away from our centres. There's so many people who want to go through that process right now. Then the second growth platform was something we've called cognitive process transformation, and that's the next generation of process reengineering with cognitive and Watson, etc., and analytics embedded within it. And the ability for us to do that both in terms of reengineering of processes that I've talked about, changing a finance process, changing a supply chain, changing a call center, mm-hmm. all of which we're doing right now in terms of live examples around the world at scale. Also, though, cognitive process services, so the next generation of BPO. Where does BPO go next in terms of this? And BPO, as I say, with cognitive as a differentiator, we're seeing particularly a massive pipeline of opportunities in the HR outsourcing space right now around talent and engagement outsourcing, leveraging new cognitive tools to not only help people to manage their basic recruiting and learning activities, but actually to transform the way they access skills in their workforce. So that second growth platform we see as a massive scale opportunity for us. And then the third is our cloud application innovation capability. This is where, of course, our legacy AMS and ERP base sits. But again, the transformation of that to a cloud-centric approach, next-generation enterprise applications, S4HANA, Salesforce, Workday at its heart, that whole area, but also the whole area of microservices migration that we're doing in the large custom organizations we see. So those three growth platforms, you know, digital strategy, very industry-focused, cognitive processes, and cloud applications. And what that allows us to do is not only be relevant in our own right, but be relevant to the rest of IBM. Because, you know, IBM's strategy is around industry, around cognitive solutions, and cloud platform. And this allows us, as GBS, to lean in much more than in the past to the rest of the IBM stack. And we see ourselves actually recognizing that there's actually, you know, as IBM's offers in general become more transformative, mm-hmm. as Watson and the cloud, et cetera, are, the opportunity for GBS to be the transformational narrative for that and to talk to clients about that and to bring it to life and to scale it and to monetize it is enormous. Yeah. And that's the opportunity we're going after.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. So, you know, I may have even asked that at investor briefing. I'll ask it here again. Just the mandate to do revenue, to grow revenue and profitability and margins together, the importance of doing both now. Why is that? Why not just focus on the revenue first as opposed to balancing both that and margins?
Well, I think that, first of all, we have to recognize that there is an opportunity to drive more margin in the business.
Okay.
We have an opportunity in terms of the differentiation we can bring to the marketplace around our pricing, around the stronger skill sets that we have. One of the big focus areas for me has been around our practice model. It's something that I talked about actually at the Investor Day, where we're actually being much, much crisper about the 40 or so major practices that exist within the global GBS inside the three growth platforms I've described. And as you understand the economics of each of those practices, mm-hmm. you're better able to make each one make its own money. You can understand what a BPO practice looks like, understand what a reengineering practice should look like, what a strategy practice should look like. And you can align both the pricing for that and the value you create and the margins much more, and the pyramids you create around that much more in a granular fashion. So I think there's an opportunity for us to do that, and obviously also an opportunity that as we start to have more transformative conversations about where the value really sits in our clients' industries, we should be able to share in that value. So that's on the kind of the value side. And then on the cost side, you know, the opportunity for us to use to leverage automation for our own benefit exists in our much of our business. There's also always an opportunity for us to use cognitive tools ourselves. So, for example, we're using new cognitive tools now to do our staffing processes. So rather than having an army of people trying to move people around the world and work out how they apply themselves to projects, we can use cognitive tools to do that ourselves. And that helps us with our whole indirect cost base as well. So I think between those two, you know, we can see our path to the 50 basis points that we talked about in Investor Day, and I think beyond.
Okay. Yeah, so I know automation and some of these tools have been talked about, you know, across the industry, but, you know, commercializing it, how real is it, you know, today? Are these ready to go into practice?
I think it's really interesting. Always lots of questions now around, you know, the scaling of Watson, right? And I think, you know, I can absolutely say, and I was with clients in France and Germany last week that I was talking to, mm-hmm. where we are engaged in multi-$10 million projects that have at their heart transformation that's massively enabled by the Watson toolset. And the key thing to recognize is that, you know, the capability that cognitive brings to you is interesting and exciting in its own right, but where the power comes is when it's actually part of a process change or the change management of an organization to take the value that can come out. So when you're someone like Bradesco, the bank in Brazil, you know, the opportunity there for us to apply cognitive to the re-engineering of their sales advisor workforce, which has created, has actually reduced the workforce requirement by about 85% in terms of that, the needs there. You know, that's a massive benefit that comes out from the leverage of technology in that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that talks to, and we're seeing that again, if we look at most call center opportunities we see, we can see a 30% immediate opportunity of applying the Watson capability in call centers, you know, across the patch right now. And that ability for us to see scale and then to wrap the change and the organization and the operating model that goes with that as companies become digital is a really powerful concept. And it's that complexity, the next level of complexity that the world is dealing with, that gives a rationale for why there continues to be a scale opportunity for GBS.
So how big, whether it's dollars or people, can you give us some idea of how, you know, integrated Watson is into GBS today?
I would say that we have the idea of cognitive running right through the business from top to bottom. So we don't approach any proposal without thinking, mm-hmm. where do we embed cognitive in that process. We don't approach any proposal without thinking, where's the cloud architecture journey we're going on here. We don't approach any proposal without thinking about what's happening to the data architecture. So those big ideas underpin everything that we do. We are rolling out more and more training to our people so that more of our people are sort of Watson skilled, but also Blue Mix skilled, and other skill sets that are vital to us. We've rolled out design thinking, agile, etc. So if you look at that picture, you know, there are tens of thousands now of my teams who are enabled to start to take this to the market and help our clients go on this journey.
Okay. How about just, you know, building up a little bit more, just thinking about strategic imperatives. I know we've been focusing on that at IBM. And how do you benchmark GBS and your mix of strategic imperatives type work? Where could that go, Mark?
Well, I think I see GBS leading the strategic imperative space. I mean, we are more than 50% of our business is now in the strategic imperatives. It grew by some 16% last year, year over year. So we're one of the fastest growing areas. And by strategic imperatives, it's all the areas like cloud, analytics, mobile, security. Those are the strategic imperatives for IBM. And I think we see ourselves as leading that process. Of course, we leverage and work with GTS, the cloud business, the Watson platform business, the Watson businesses like Watson Health and Watson IoT. And again, one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand is that GBS is not sitting in isolation like an island or an adjunct to the rest of IBM, you know, our ability to work alongside Watson Health and Watson IoT and to use that industry expertise to do something really different and to deliver the entire end-to-end stack of capability is a really big opportunity for us. So that's how I'd see all that coming together.
Okay. So you know, before we dig in a little bit on the digital side, I want to make sure we hit the traditional ERP business. You mentioned that in the third growth area around cloud. So how big is the traditional ERP business now? What's the outlook? It sounds like it's both a combination of stabilization and also diversifying to cloud. So can you just walk us through the changes there?
I mean, actually, as I say, the overall the AMS part of our business has been actually remaining pretty stable.
Very stable.
Very stable in terms of the last year or so. I think in the ERP space is one that where we had seen some declines, but I think it's really interesting to see the opportunity we now see in front of us. It's quite clear that the world has stopped doing largely major, massive ERP transformation programs, the ones that everyone lived off, my old place and this place, over during the 2000s. That period has gone, and so people are now bringing out their next generation enterprise application work in smaller bundles. They're still substantive, however, and I think we are seeing a next generational wave occurring around the ERP area, a significant wave. So, you know, S/4HANA is incredibly hot, but we're also seeing, of course, the whole area of Salesforce, as I say, of Workday. We made acquisitions in the Salesforce and Workday space to build our capability in those two areas. We announced, obviously, our alliance with Salesforce at our Investor Day. Last week, we announced our alliance around Ariba, Sapphire. And we see, you know, another whole wave of opportunity to embed, again, cognitive in the next generation of these ERP solutions and to wrap them into the next generation of process reengineering that's going to come along and the next generation of cloud migration that's going to come along. So I think our capacity to see another wave is significant. And in fact, what's been seen as a problem for GBS, the fact it had so was seen as being overweight in ERP, I actually think is increasingly becoming a value of incumbency, because the fact that we're there means we can actually, when we have the relationships, we have the opportunity to be there at the table as organizations start to cloudify those networks. So I think it's obviously, you know, it's very important for us. We are hiring significantly in the SAP space right now, among others, just as another proof point, as well as across the other applications I mentioned.
Right. No, that's really interesting. So I guess how about on application management? You mentioned that's been stable. Just the knock-on effect within application management. Anything we should watch for there in terms of inflection?
Well, I think that the critical thing that's obviously sitting behind that world is how is the cloud beginning to actually come to life in the AMS space. And I think that, again, what we're finding is that large organizations, are starting to look at their application suites and trying to work out how they break them down into microservices and how they go on the journey of migrating then those application suites to the next world. I think in many cases our knowledge of our clients' applications, because we've been running them for decades, again gives us some value of incumbency there. Yeah. Obviously what we're having to do is make sure that we are upskilling our teams, making them think about that, and we have also worked really hard on our methodologies in this space. I mean, methodology has been a big focus for me since I came on board, to try and make it clearer there was one IBM way for how we do things around the patch. But in that area particularly, we just launched a new methodology called Cloud Innovate, which is explicitly focused on the methodology to help clients go on that microservices journey or go on the journey of modernizing the other applications and also thinking about how you build cloud-native applications as well into your architecture. Right. So I think very much we see that whole space, and therefore the way that we then act as an on-ramp for the IBM cloud, an on-ramp for understanding how hybrid cloud architectures evolve, this is a big opportunity for us in that space.
Right. No, that's actually a good segue to another question I wanted to ask you, Mark, just around, you know, I know digital's been carrying a lot of the growth for the company, and we get this question a lot, you know, within the services sector, just are these projects, whether it's application management or development, are these projects big enough you know, to replenish your backlog and pipeline on a continuous basis. It does seem like maybe the project sizes are a little bit smaller. Can you comment on that in terms of visibility?
Well, I mean, obviously I mentioned the fact that project sizes had come down in some respect from the big transformational areas. We should still recognize that GBS, you know, is clearly selling at least $17 billion a year to maintain its scale as a business. That's a lot of sales for anyone to look at in the first place. So clearly something big is going on in there. I will say that the digital area has been a very fast growing area, and I'd say again it's moving from a world where people were using digital to do proof of concepts, to put a mobile front end on a process, to use our Apple relationship, for example, to create some new apps. Yep. But that's moving on now to a much more mature bundling of digital change, you know, to go after a particular process, like, for example, we do for Japan Airlines, where we've taken on the sort of maintenance work we do around a plane and the way they use the mobile application to, first of all, inspect the plane and use mobile photography and you know, ability to assess that information very, very powerfully. But then that flows into a completely re-engineered asset management and parts and maintenance regime for them. So it's the thinking. I think that those projects are growing in terms of the tail they create.
Yeah.
And very much the way that we've thought about our three growth platforms is that if we can set the digital roadmap by using our 35 studios, which, by the way, we're in the leader in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for that whole area of marketing design, use that capability to help shape the journey and then use the other capabilities to then execute right down to the stack. That really brings scale back into the proposition.
Yeah. So you mentioned the studios a couple of times and IBM iX, and there's a lot of digital interactive agencies. We hear a lot about the traditional agencies trying to break in.
Yep.
So how differentiated is IBM there in your mind?
Well, I think we are very differentiated insofar as we have a purpose behind them. They're not, again, an adjunct on the side of our model.
Right.
I very, very explicitly wanted to make sure that this incredible asset, and if you go to the Resource Amirati studio in Columbus or the Aperto studio I was in Germany last week in, they are amazing environments with amazingly talented people inside them. But their ability to then connect that creativity into a very serious business change problem and to then help clients through the very innovative way they develop strategies, both with the environment, the design thinking way approach to it, and then the creativity, the output that gets created. I think we've got a unique opportunity to create something that embeds this capability into the stack of GBS rather than something, as I said, it's seen on the side. And when I see it working, as I say, so many clients have had their perception of IBM transformed by going through an experience in one of our centers and our studios. And increasingly, frankly, we're being asked by our clients to build studios for them, to actually help them create their own design thinking capabilities and their own co-creation centers, which we then put into our network, and we work with them across that network, and we embed ourselves in their innovation process.
Mm. All right, good stuff. Let me ask a couple more I want to make sure we get through. Just, the concept of partnership, right? I mean, you mentioned Apple, and, Benioff was at the investor briefing. How do you view partnership in relation to how you've seen it in the past at IBM? How is that evolving? How critical is that going to be as part of your growth mandate?
Oh, it's going to be hugely critical, Tianjin. I think the whole area of ecosystems are becoming so much more important to us. All organizations now work in a series of loose alliances and affiliations of varying degrees.
Yeah.
And I think that world of co-opetition is going to carry on being the world we're in. We recognize there are some big architectural battles out there, which IBM will be engaged in,
sure.
And there'll be other players playing across those architectural battles. I think we see the what we've learned from some of the... I mean, our Apple partnership, for example, has been hugely successful in pulling Apple into the enterprise, but also helping us to learn a lot about how to bring mobile really into business processes in a really meaningful way. So we've learned a lot, they've learned a lot, and that's been really powerful for both organizations.
Right.
Similarly, I do see the stuff we're doing with Salesforce now around how we put our Watson alongside their Einstein. So Watson meets Einstein is what's happening around that at that one. But and have, hopefully have an interesting conversation or two somewhere along the way there. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is actually that, you know, the power of the interface with the power of our processor, and bring the two things together into some unique propositions. And I say similarly that I think the announcement last week of the Ariba area, again, that's a partnership in a critical value point, and one we know that cognitive can make a huge difference to through our own work in IBM and work we're doing with clients. So I think, again, I think these partnerships, they will be formed by all the players in various areas, but I think we do have to recognise that to win today, you need to have you have to have some friends, and the friends you go to market with are really important. And we have to learn to be better and better at leveraging those alliances.
Okay. So to bring it all together then, Mark, what kind of metrics should we or are you sort of are you going to be paying close attention to here to see how GBS is progressing? I know obviously revenue margin, we'll look at that, but anything specific that you'll be watching?
Well, I think revenue and margin are good ones to keep an eye on.
Naturally.
I think let's be very clear, that's going to be very important that we see revenue growth and profit growth as we go forward. I think that the other thing, though, I think you should look at is what's happening to the growth of our different growth platforms, seeing how those three areas move forward. The evolution of the scaling of our digital strategy capability will be important. The way that cognitive process reengineering really takes off and scales will be, I think, really important. I think overall, in the end of the day, I expect there will be more people, I think, in GBS as we go forward. Although we will leverage assets, we'll leverage automation, I think the scaling of our skill sets in critical areas will be really important as a metric for success going forward. Most importantly, though, I think, you know, we want to be famous for the fact that clients say we were their digital reinvention partner. We helped them go on this journey, and we were able to help them get the value out of these ideas with pace and certainty, because that is really that'll be the main metric for me, is that clients recognize that we have really helped them on that journey.
All right. Good. So let me just ask one last sort of closing question. We'll get you out of here. I know you're really busy. So just, you know, I've been asking this with other companies too. Just maybe the biggest misperception of IBM, GBS's unit, Global Business Services, you know, especially interested to hear what you say here, because, you know, you came from Accenture, and what is the biggest misperception?
Well, I think the biggest misperception, I think, actually, is, first of all, that it exists. Mm. I think people should understand there is a 17 billion, 125,000 person organization here inside the IBM wrapper, and I think recognizing it in its own right, but for the power that it brings to the rest of the place, I think is something that is really important. And there's a misperception about that.
Right.
I think there's a misperception that IBM is still the old legacy technology, old legacy ways of working. And the truth of the matter is, no, it's transformed around this digital agenda. It's transformed around the creative design thinking and the agile work that's going on. It's transformed about the embedding of Watson into the business. It's transformed around its embrace of the cloud. This is a completely different organization. And I think those two things, I'd say, are part of an overall misconception about IBM as a whole. And I see the job of GBS is to be part of changing that perception as well.
All right. That's great. Mark Foster, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time.